In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During Easter, with the first disciples and witnesses of the resurrection, to this day, the risen Christ opens our minds to understand the Scriptures. And this includes all his words and teaching during his earthly ministry. Today, in the light of the resurrection, we recall the time right after that last Passover supper when he spoke so many things, including the parable of the vine when he spoke and the branches, the vine and the branches. I am the vine, he said. Using the image, of course, of a grapevine, he means to speak about our continuing connection with him, especially after his death and resurrection when we can't see him any longer, as did the first disciples. The purpose or goal of staying connected with him, he says, is the bearing of fruit. In this picture, we are taught first how through his word and sacraments we are brought to salvation. That is, the doctrine of the justification of the sinner by God's grace through faith in Christ without the works of the law. And then secondly, it teaches us about the life of sanctification, the life of holy living, the life that says, Lord, I love your law. Because he gives us the spirit and the power to live according to his word. When Jesus says today, abide in me, that assumes we have somehow already come to him. You can't stay or abide anywhere unless you've first gotten there. When did you first come to Christ, to faith in him? Or more accurately, when did he first come to you? Now, each of us has different stories of how faith was given to us, drawing us to God through Christ. Some of us may think we don't have much of a story because we can't remember a time when we didn't believe in Jesus. And yet the Bible says, in sin did my mother conceive me. That is, every one of us were spiritually stillborn, sinners in need of salvation from the get-go. Others of us can tell maybe a more picturesque or extended and interesting story from being apart from God and then a gradual or even a sudden spiritual awakening. St. Paul described life without God when he wrote, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Justification, sanctification. In any case, we all have this in common, that it wasn't our coming to God, but his coming to us. And if you want to put a time and a date on that, the one thing that we can say for certain of all of us according to God's word, is the sacrament of holy baptism. That was the sure beginning of faith in you. That was when you were grafted into Christ, divine, living, and true. Jesus speaks of his Father as the vine dresser who prunes every branch so that it may bear more fruit. And of course, that pruning calls to mind the faithful life of the continual repentance of our sins. But next, notice he re-emphasizes, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you at the beginning, in your baptism. By God's action, you became clean, having the forgiveness of all your sins. So with this picture, Jesus is describing, teaching, and reminding us that being justified or declared righteous and saved is and can only be by the action of God and not our own. I ran into a cute quote from Martin Luther, who speaks of the person who does not understand that justification or salvation is completely the work and gift of God without any cooperation on our part, saying, quote, "Let others whittle and trim as they can until they make a new birth out of works and a tree out of fruit. They must still prove the truth of this saying, and out of all of it there shall come nothing." First, becoming a branch of Christ the vine, justification, conversion, salvation, totally the work of God through his word. But now, Jesus says the purpose of our being a branch of the vine is the bearing of fruit. What is that fruit? And are you bearing it? Are you producing it? Well, we don't have to guess for very long, as the Bible informs us. I suppose the first of all is the fruit of faith. And this is included in St. Paul's famous list of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These we can and will produce as long as we remain in Jesus the vine. The warning of this text, of course, is that the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. And if anybody does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. When and how does a person become separated from Christ the vine and cease to bear this spiritual fruit? Well, it's when you lose faith, when you stop believing, when you neglect and reject your connection with Christ in his word and sacraments. So are you bearing this fruit? The first is love. The Bible, of course, says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This love, of course, means paying attention to your relationship with God, a relationship of trust, of faith, thanksgiving, and hope. And then it means paying attention to your relationships with the neighbor, a relationship of care, help, and service, love. How about the fruit of joy? This isn't about how happy you happen to be at any given moment. This joy can remain even in times of great sadness. It's about an inner confidence and knowledge of God's promises, especially his unending love. This joy motivates our service to the neighbor. It also results from knowing that Jesus has taken away any fear of death with the promise of our resurrection on the last day. Love, joy, the fruit of peace, then. Peace with God and the forgiveness of all of our sins. And the possibility of peace also with the neighbor, As St. James said it in his letter, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And of course, we remember our Lord's words, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. These fruits are three groups of three, and the next three occasionally seem difficult or even impossible until we realize that they are the will of God being worked in our hearts. I love it when a Christian confesses to me, he says, Pastor, I just can't be patient, because that sets him up for me to say right back in his face, oh yes, you can. The Holy Spirit is attempting to work that gift in you, if you'll let him. The same thing with kindness and goodness. These three addressing our relationships with love with the neighborhood. Finally, the last three begins with that number one, faithfulness. And this is the key and most important word you remember. Some would remember this more recently than others. Faithfulness is the number one key word in the marriage vow. You know, and I promise to be faithful to you. Well, we say that to God too. And so does it apply to your dedication to the Lord's means of grace, worship, word, and sacrament as central to the life of faith. From that faithfulness, Christ inspires gentleness, the same long-suffering and kindness we ourselves have received from him, now reflected in our care for others. Finally, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, a fruit of Christ the Vine. It is that gift that characterizes all the others in a life of holy living. Abide in me and I in you, because as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And how does Jesus abide in you? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. No, not those things. But with his words in you, you will wish according to his word. This is the Christian life. Having been justified by faith, we are given the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ and of his resurrection, the power that changes us, glorifies the Father, and proves you to be a true disciple of Jesus, the vine, living and true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.